Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. By the way, let me just give you a little tidbit of information. We had some very serious technical difficulties in our connection today, but God's always on time. I've said for many, many years, He's never late. He's never before time. He's always on time. And so when there's a need, He's always right there meeting that need. And I'm thankful for that. We are dealing with technology in our world today, and we have to depend on it. Sometimes it kind of controls us, but God is still bigger than that, and I'm thankful for it. Thank you for joining us today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the telephone call to get you through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about today, is the church essential? Is the church essential? I'm talking about, is the church essential in society today? Is there a need for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our states, in our nation, in our cities, in our communities? Is it an essential service in the community in which we live? Is the church essential to society in general? What about that question, the essentiality of the church? Is it essential for the church to operate? But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. It is the source of all truth, not some truth, partial truth, occasional truth, but all truth. Jesus said to His disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then the declaratory statement in relationship to the Word of God, He says, "Thy Word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to stand on, ladies and gentlemen, and not be vacillating by every wind of doctrine and by the philosophies and the guile of men. We ought to simply depend on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And because some speak the truth, whether it be pastor, preacher, teacher, or politician, you speak the truth and you're laughed at, mocked at, ridiculed, and made fun of. That's the society in which we're living in today. But as Christians, we ought to depend on the truth and defend it. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this powerful statement. I want you to remember this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I have restated that day after day after day on this broadcast because, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that's my position. I believe that we need to seek the truth, especially in this coronavirus fiasco that we're in with the virus as serious and deadly as it is. Are there things that's being hidden? Are there some things that we don't know? Is it possible that we're not being told the truth about everything that we're faced with in America and what's happening around the globe today? We need to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, and love the truth of the Word of God. Tell the truth, live the truth, and ladies and gentlemen, defend the truth even to death. And I believe, if I can tuck this little parenthetical footnote in at that statement, I believe that as Christians, we will live to see the day that we need to defend the truth to death. I believe we as Christians will be able to see before the church is raptured out the point in time and position when we must be willing to stand and defend the truth of the Word of God, even if it means our own life. I think that's a sobering thought for many so-called Christians today. Sobering thought that you'd have to stand on the truth of the Word of God and defend the truth, even if it means your life. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a full knowledgeable staff of those that can answer all of your questions about landscape power equipment and hurricane preparedness equipment and backup generation power. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, that's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find the gigantic flagpole about 165 foot in the air with a gigantic, huge American flag flowing. That flag is there 24/7. You find the flag at the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in very grave, serious days. We're in a time when, for the first time in the history of the United States of America, for the first time in the history of the church, there's the potentiality, as some one writer put it, of Easter, of going without Easter for the first time. And Easter without going to church, this article says. The president's announced a full lockdown until April the 30th. Governor after governor after governor across America and mayor after mayor, they're trying to play the one-upmanship to see who can do the most to politically be viewed as defending those constituents and those citizens in their municipalities. This article says the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a formal recommendation that public gatherings be postponed or canceled for the next 8 weeks. For organizations, the serve the high-risk population, the threshold is 10, though most churches aren't even doing Easter. Easter worship, April the 12th, as we've known, is doomed, this writer says. Early on, many pastors probably presumed preaching to cameras rather than to congregations wasn't going to encompass the whole season. It goes further to say that no doubt pastors worry that 2 months of canceled services will provide the proverbial straw to break the camel's back of congregational decline. This article further says the first Easter found the most faithful huddled away from their congregations, hiding because of persecution of the believers, and they were in fear of their lives. Further, the article states, to the body of Christ on earth requires us to meet together as physical bodies. The writer of this article says that seeing one another in gathered spaces is not only a matter of supporting one another, but a way to keep tabs on each other's well-being and to encourage each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a very serious state in America today. And during the course of this broadcast, I want your opinion. I want your position. I want to know whether or not you think the church is essential. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm here to hear you out. I want to know, do you think that the church is essential? Can we close? Is it possible? Let me do a hypothetical. Is it possible to simply close the churches for an unending period of time, an unknown space of time, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days? Some of the governors are saying that everything needs to be shut down through June. Some are saying, as the president said, through April. Some are even stating that it could even be September before we see this relenting, that things can open up and, quote, get back to normal. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as normalcy after we have a nationwide global shutdown. It's an impossibility to think that it'll ever be anything that we'd call normal as we once knew it and as we once understood it. But in the midst of all of that, is the church essential? Mayor after mayor and governor after governor is setting up a list of things that are called essential services. We will look at that in detail during the course of this broadcast. We'll look at in particular what the governor of the state of Florida has said and what things what are considered essential. We'll look at a detailed overview of what our mayor has said is that which would be considered essential. And we want to find out, do either of them say that the church is essential? Where do we stand on that issue? Have a pretty large article that we'll look at just sporadically during the course of this broadcast. The question being asked, Can I go to church this Sunday? Have you asked that question? Are you concerned about it? Does it bother you that churches have been closed across America for weeks now? Therefore, the question begs to be answered, asked, and demands to be answered. Is the church essential? Ladies and gentlemen, for decades, we've all seen the gradual falling away. In fact, the scripture is very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and following, that before the Antichrist steps on the scene, there must first come the falling away. By the way, that's the only place in the Bible where the term is used, falling away. The falling away, the apostatizing of the body of Christ, falling away from the church. Ladies and gentlemen, before the Antichrist can come on the scene, there must be a falling away. My question is going to be this. Are we looking at the precursor to the ultimate falling away from the church? Are we looking at the looking through a glass darkly? Are we looking at the stage being set for the ultimate falling away? Is this the trigger in the closing of the church? Is it the trigger that exacerbates the problem and further escalates the falling away that will then bring in the rapture of the church and the sudden stepping on the scene of the Antichrist? I personally say that that is exactly what we're watching. We're watching the setting of the stage. We're watching the stage being set for the church to fall away, as God says in His Word in the eschatological text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that that is what we are seeing today taking place, is the falling away. And it's not the full-fledged falling away, the abandonment of the church completely, but it's allowing people, as one person said in one of the articles that I've read recently, once you get a person, even though he's an avid Christian, says to be, once you get him accustomed to sitting at home for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, it's going to be, you're going to be hard put to get him motivated to go back to church, especially if we find with the new technological advances that we have, that most people can simply turn on a television or turn on a computer or pull up their handheld electronic device and watch a streamed service or a replay, video replay of a service, and the mindset, that's just as good as worship. That's just as good as being there. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not what the Word of God says. It is not fulfilling the Great Commission. It is not fulfilling the mandate that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the heathens do, because we see the day approaching, and it's talking about the day of Christ's return approaching, that we need to be more involved than ever. And yet we're in a day when that is being diminished and destroyed. Every year we've seen, ladies and gentlemen, across all denominational lines, where there is a serious decline in church attendance. And ladies and gentlemen, according to the Barna Report, and the Barna Report that I read this morning, dated February the 19th of 2020, says over 51% of all churchgoers do not know the Great Commission, do not know of the Great Commission. The majority of the millennials want entertainment and not worship. The article says about 49% of adults, that is adult churchgoers, attend services at least once in the recent months. At least once in the recent months. The report found a serious decline in church loyalty, with about 63% sticking to a single congregation. Out of all that say they're saved, this article says that only about 63%, well, that's good, it's over half, about 63% stick to a single congregation, and 38% attending 2 to 5 different churches simultaneously. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this from a pastoral position and standpoint, from a perspective of a pastor. Been in serving the Lord in ministry for some 55 years, so I think I have a little insight on what's taking place and what we see going on. But if you find an individual that's jumping from church to church to church, attending 2 to 5 different churches simultaneously, they're not committed to either. They're going to the service that's favorite for them, where you can eat at this service, where you can have special things done at this service, where you can have special music at this church for this service, or I have a special WOW program at this church for this service, and you have no fundamental stick-to-itiveness, as I would call it, no commitment to a local church. There will not be any tithes and offerings, generally speaking, from that individual that's skipping from church to church to church. No loyalty to the individual body of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the Barna Report also found a serious divide among churchgoers, as he called them, among churchgoers and what would be the normal for what you'd call churchgoers. Serious report that he found, or the serious findings in that report, says the value of church, with the majority of those surveyed, believe that people are tired, hear me, they are tired of church as usual, end quote. Let me read that to you again. According to the Barna Report, February the 19th, 2020, that's recent, isn't it? The Barna Report found that a serious divide among churchgoers as to the value of church. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the majority of the so-called churchgoers view the church as non-essential. So why do we get upset? Why do we say that our constitutional rights are being undermined when the government says you can't go to church? If the majority of churchgoers feel that the church is not essential, then who will view the church as being valued to stand and defend the truth? Who will view the church as being valued enough to stand and defend our religious liberties and constitutional rights that's afforded us in the First Amendment, if nothing else? Let me read that again. The Barna Report, 2020, February the 19th of 2020, found a, quote, serious divide among churchgoers as to the value of church, with the majority of those surveyed believe that people are tired of church as usual. What does it mean, church as usual? What does it mean, church as usual? To answer that question in a very succinct fashion, most people look at church as a place where you need to go to be entertained. If the Word of God is preached and the little pet sin that you might have hidden away, if the pastor, preacher, teacher is preaching expositorily, if he's preaching verse by verse and chapter by chapter with no hobby horses, as you would call it, then it's going to expose sin. When it exposes sin, those that happen to be visiting that Sunday, or those that happen to be members, but they get a little riled up inside because you've touched on the sin, pulled the scab off their hidden sin without you even knowing that that is the sin that's there. They get a little riled up, upset, and they decide, I'm not going back to church. And that's the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, that's causing the falling away, in my most humble opinion, today. Here's an article that says, non-essential churches and the failure of America's pulpits. Now, this particular writer sees what's happening with the falling away. This particular writer sees that there is a need to be correct from the pulpit, and as a result of that, it's the opinion that something is taking place there that is a lack of preaching, teaching that's proper. Dated April the 2nd, 2020, he says in this article, this writer, let me say straight up front that I proudly stand with recently arrested Rodney Howard Brown and his church. I'm sure that is amazingly to some of my less awake fellow American Christians who are convinced that the job of the government is to regulate the church. Some of the responses that I have read on Facebook regarding his arrest are striking evidence of the failure of Americans' pulpits. Ladies and gentlemen, I've read article after article after article about the pastor and his church and his stand, and about the pastor in Louisiana and other pastors that have taken a stand that we're going to remain open, we're not going to have our constitutional rights and the guidelines that we have from the Word of God, not going to have those trodden underfoot and rebelled and refused in any fashion by the federal and state governments. But I've read some horrible things. One of them said the pastor should be put in jail 99 years. Another one says the pastor needs to die and go to hell, et cetera, et cetera. As a result of simply standing and saying that we're going to obey God rather than man, this article further says somewhere along the line, pastors have convinced their goats they're obeying the government, that obeying the government is the duty of good law-abiding Americans. They love to cite Romans 13 as the reason for their flock kowtowing to wickedness. The same guy, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans 13, also instructed his followers to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose what, this writer says? Unfruitful works of darkness. He goes on to say, darkness connotes evil, and evil is recognized by what it destroys. Jesus warned us, you shall know them by their fruits. In other words, only good works can produce good fruit. Dark works destroy. They are unfruitful. We are called to examine the fruit and have nothing to do with anything that does not produce good fruit. It's a pretty good-sized article, ladies and gentlemen. He goes on to talk about the need for our churches to have preachers standing in the pulpit preaching the truth and standing on the truth and defending the truth. And this is exactly what is causing or allowing to be caused the closure of the churches, ladies and gentlemen, with the mindset that somehow, some way, as that particular writer I just spoke of said, where churches and pastors are kowtowing, that means bowing and bending to the government's wishes and whims to close the church. Ladies and gentlemen, my position is if the church can stay closed 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months, then the church will barely, if ever, survive the closure of the church doors. Now, I understand we're in a tectonic shift where multitudes of these young pastors have the mindset that it is cool to simply stream the messages and stream the services and not and you don't even really have to have a church building anymore. You can just, in fact, one talked about how he had been through the streaming of the services, church doors closed. We've reached more people than we ever reach on any year, any service, with just one service being streamed, with thousands upon thousands watching online. Ladies and gentlemen, watching online is wonderful. Watching online is good. Watching online can be beneficial if it is good expository preaching and is from a conservative biblical interpretation level. But ladies and gentlemen, it does not fulfill the Word of God's requirement that we gather together, come together in fellowship, koinonia, and worshiping Him around the Word of God. Go back to the first century church when the church was founded, ladies and gentlemen, in Acts chapter 2. And they went house to house in fellowship studying the apostles' doctrine. They did not, and you say, well, they didn't have online streaming then. No, they didn't. But they did not utilize anything but the biblical concept of one-on-one in a fellowship, koinonia, fellowship among believers around the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Barna Report, ladies and gentlemen, let me go back to that again and state, showed a serious divide among churchgoers. Notice he didn't call them Christians, as to the value of church, with the majority of those surveyed believe that people are tired of church as usual. Then, ladies and gentlemen, no wonder then that now in the midst of the coronavirus and the pandemic, the shutdown, we find so many mayors and governors that do not see the church as essential. Ladies and gentlemen, if the churchgoers do not see the church as essential, most of these so-called leaders that we have, I'm reticent to even call them that, but these so-called leaders that we have, the majority of them will say, I'm a member of a church. Sure they are, but they're probably part and parcel of these that fall in this survey that believe the church is not really relevant today, they believe they're tired of church as usual, so they're willing to go along with the orders to shut down without considering our religious liberties and our freedom that we find in our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand most of these governors, most of these mayors do not see the Church of Jesus Christ as being essential in our society. And yet, I want us to understand, we need to say very, very clearly that our nation, yes, even our globe, is now faced with a very deadly virus. I believe it's deadly, yes. I believe it's going to take the lives of multitudes, yes. I believe that we're going to see the numbers escalate beyond where we're seeing them now, no question about it. But later in this broadcast, we're going to look at that in comparison to other deaths on a global basis and what this number continues to be and how it redounds in relationship to the analysis with other deaths and other causes of death on a global basis. We must be cautious. We must be careful. And use good personal hygiene, yes. We need to wash our hands. Our parents, your parents, taught us growing up, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Our boys growing up. And my bride would always say, did you wash your hands before you come to the table? Do you wash your hands after you go into the restroom? Did you wash your hands? That's good personal hygiene. We need to wash our hands. We need to not sneeze on somebody, cough on somebody, et cetera, et cetera. If you're sneezing or coughing, don't be out and about anyway, whether it is in church or otherwise. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, where we're going with today's broadcast. We're asking the question, is the church essential in society today? Do you believe that it's essential? What are your thoughts? 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number. Gets you through to the studios and right to our microphone so that you can answer that question from your perspective. I believe we need to be careful, but I believe we need to keep the churches open. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You know, for your information, in Israel and even in sections of New York where there's a high Orthodox Hasidic population, there's a higher incidence of this virus. And in Israel, the police are actually shutting down gatherings of Orthodox Hasidic Jews, and they're used to being together and dancing together, et cetera. Were you cognizant of this?
Absolutely. I've read all the statistics, all the data, what they've done in New York, what they've done in the state and the city, what's taking place in Italy, what's taking place in Israel, what's taking place in Germany. And I could just simply, and I don't say this bragging on me, I read between 50 and 150 news articles every day. I believe I've got a pretty good thumb on what's taking place. Let me just tell you this also. You go to each and every one of these hot spots that we have in America, whether it's New Orleans, whether it's the West Coast or the Left Coast, as I call it, or on the East Coast. For the most part, those are cities and states that have the sanctuary city or the sanctuary state mentality, where there's been no control on what's coming in from across the globe with what they're bringing in. And as a result of that, you're finding those are the hot spots today, and yet they're not admitting that. And as for Israel, I understand because of the number of people on the confined square footage of space and the little T90 postage stamp of God's holy land, as the Bible refers to it, I believe we're finding that as a result of multitudes that are coming and going and have been, and he's done the right thing shutting down the borders just like President Trump did for the United States of America. It's by shutting down the borders and allowing to cease and desist that flow from around the globe of those that were bringing it to our shores and to the shores of Israel. But yes, we need to be very careful. We need to stop the holy kiss, as you find in Israel. We need to stop the holy kiss as found in some of our churches, not just the synagogues. We need to recognize the need for good personal hygiene and distances from one another.
Yes, and you know, Israeli scientists, I was reading, and I don't read as many papers as you, but I try to keep up on things, but I appreciate you keeping up with everything. But the Israeli scientists are close to a vaccine.
They are more progressive than we are when it comes to the medicines and what they're doing with the medical devices in the past, what they're doing now with the innovations for medicines, et cetera. By the way, I don't know if our listeners know it or that you know it, but the governor of the state of New York has said no to the use of the medicine they found that's a malaria drug that is known to work. One physician had used it with 350 patients. All 350 patients with the coronavirus survived and are back on their feet, and yet the governor of the state of New York says, no, we're not going to use it.
Why do you think he did that?
There's been some false information that's gone around that says that, and the one that was given the false information on the fake news media didn't even have a license to practice medicine in America, but he was saying it was a dangerous drug that it ought not to be used, and some of the governors have bought into that. The governor in New York wants to do so. So without saying so, exponentially the deaths can go up that he can blame Trump then, because he is being eyed now by the socialist Marxist Democrats as the potential candidate, because Joe Biden probably won't make it when it comes to the Democratic convention.
Yeah, they're trying to weaponize this in the political statement during an election year, right?
Absolutely. We're seeing that across the nation with the socialist Marxist so-called Democrats, and that's exactly what's happening. It is as they said, it's their gift from heaven.
Yes. Do you see the demise of America? We are declining because of my understanding of eschatology, America will be neutralize in the future. There's nothing in prophecy, since we were created out of many ethnic groups. How? What saith ye?
I am in full agreement with that. America's not mentioned in eschatological text. I believe that somehow, some way, unknown to us now, that eventually America will be merged back into the European system, the revived Roman Empire, and we no longer exist when it comes to eschatology. But our time is up. We're going to have a one-minute break, ladies and gentlemen, news. Right after the news. Hang in there. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.